This evening, our reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 137. Something I like is when we read the Word of God together, because there is something in it. And we are going to read these verses together. It's only 9 verses, and we are going to read these verses together. The verses will be on the screen, or you could use your Bible, and we are reading from the NIV. So let's read together. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hang our hearts. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skills. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cry. Tear it down to its foundations. Outer Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infant and dashes them against the rocks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you because we are able to come to this place. Thank you for your word that sometimes have difficult words. Thank you because we know it's there to help us to get closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for the offerings, and we pray that you could bless the money we receive so we could use it to enlarge your kingdom on this part of the world. Father, now into your hands we place our time together. And may your Holy Spirit help us to receive something new this evening, because we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Psalm 137 is widely regarded as one of the meanest of the imprecatory psalms. Certainly, as we read, it seems a song of pure revenge. And that is what we read. The exiles in Babylon, in sorrow over the judgment that Babylon has brought upon them, pray for the destruction of that city, of that great city. But they have lost their joy. That is the psalm all about it. 9 verses that describes the sorrows of Judah during their Babylonian captivity. Judah has been punished because their spiritual idolatry. And that is this Psalm 137. Describes the sorrow of Judah. 70 years of captivity. A spiritual idolatry is the reason of the punishment. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 21, says, the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time of its desolation. 70 years. Desolation is rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. 586 B.C., Jerusalem was destroyed. God's people had been disobedient. Therefore, they were taken into captivity. They lost their joy. There is an application immediately as we read this psalm. And then when we are out of the will of God, when we are not walking in obedience, this morning we're talking trust and obey, there is something that's going to happen to us. Maybe we like it or not, that is what Here we could learn. We likewise, we are going to be taken into captivity. We are going to suffer under alien forces because we have rejected to be in fellowship with God. And that's what they did. Judah disobeyed. Because our spiritual idolatry, perhaps, we are going to lose our joy. But the Bible tells us that we are not supposed to be like that. The Bible tells us that's not, Christianity is not for gloomy people and boring people. No. In Psalm 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. We need to be free to have joy. When I was in the United States, when you enter to a black church, you can sense how they worship. And then my church in Texas is a fundamental Baptist church, so you can see the difference. nothing is right or wrong. But what I'm saying that we have to be joyful. So we need to be free. If we are in worship, if you want to clap your hands, clap your hands. We have to be in order. You know, we are not talking. I'm not asking you to be in chaos here, but that is what the Bible says. Clap your hands, all you nations. Come on, shout to the God. We are joyful to be here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28 says, the prospect of the righteous is what? Joy. But the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. And I could quote many verses about joy. And that is what we are, you know, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Yes. One of my favorites is the ones that blessed be the name of the Lord. Because when we are in a time of sorrow, is the time that we need to worship. Our joy is different to be happy. And on the other hand, there are sorrow, sadness, disappointment in the path of the disobedient. Have you lost your joy? Because sometimes we could be Christians and we could be miserable. When we are not walking with the Lord, as we said, there is sadness. The Lord wants us to have joy, you know, to enjoy His company. When we come together, He wants us to worship Him because He is our joy. Not the miracle that we are. Sometimes people come to churches and they will be joyful if the job that they have been praying about it will be there. They will be joyful when maybe we are going to get healed. When they are joyful because God has answered their prayers. No, our joy doesn't depend on that. Our joy depends that we are having fellowship with God. Now here, God's people lost their joy. And that's what this psalm says, when joy is lost. The first thing these people are experiencing is they have the memory of Zion. They have the memory of the place they were before. Now the word Zion appears in the first verse here. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remember Zion. Now, the word Zion appeared hundreds of times in the Bible. I was trying to say, some people say 100 of times in the Bible. And the word Zion is described as the city of David, as the city of God. Mainly, it means fortification. That is the meaning of the word Zion. Now, as we continue reading the Bible, the New Testament has another dimension here, has a spiritual meaning here. And as we read the New Testament, Zion refers to God's spiritual kingdom, the city of David. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. In our case, it's the memory of our fellowship with God. They were supposed to be singing, the people of Judah, clapping their hands, declaring that God is good, but they have been disobedient. Spiritual idolatry has been there, and they are suffering. They remember how it was when they were singing, they were reading the Psalms together, as we read this morning. They were doing that. And it says, if only I could go back. As I said this morning, that when I speak to my best friend, that when he used to be in church, we sang together. He's my best friend, but he's not coming to church. And I sense that he's sad. Joy is not there. And that's what's happening to the people of Judah. They remember the city of God. They remember. Sometimes when we are in the church, you know, it was painful to them. We are struggling here. By the rivers of Babylon, we remember and cry. That is what was happening to the people there. In verse 2 says, there on the poplars we hang our harps. It is a description that of the happiness they used to enjoy when they were there in Jerusalem. Now they say, we are in sorrow. We don't want to do it. We cannot do it. It seems that they are saying, we feel sorry for ourselves. You know what? Many believers are hanging up their Bibles. They are not reading their Bibles. They are hanging up fellowship. They don't want to come to church. If you go to popular places in Ecuador, you will find this picture. If I can get the picture there. And when you go to this popular neighborhood, do you see that? I don't know if it's clear, the picture. And in Ecuador, they love football a lot. They are mad about football, although we are not so good at it, you know. And if you go to these poor neighborhoods, and you will find this picture. And I'm not telling you, this is... And we play football on the streets sometimes. But when they get to a place where they say, well, I am 35 and too old to play. So what they do? They hang their shoes. So that's the picture. And then, so that means that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. Oh, no more. 8, 9, 10. These people, I'm too old for this. They hang their shoes. They are not playing anymore. That's what happens sometimes with Christians. I don't want to go to the prayer meeting. I don't want to read my Bible. They are quitting their service for the Lord. I don't want to visit that person. They are not praying. Just as the people of Judah, they have lost their joy for the gospel. Judah was paying the consequences of their disobedience. Sometimes we blame other people. Sometimes we blame the minister. Sometimes we will blame the deacons. Sometimes we blame the elders. Sometimes we blame anybody, but we never blame ourselves. And then you stop coming to church. You stop having fellowship. And we blame the church secretary. You blame the you know, whoever. When we go over again, we do not learn. We keep on blaming somebody else. Maybe Judah was happening, but they were having a spiritual idolatry. I remember when I was started the training, I remember this guy, for some reason, recruit Cadena. You know, remember, we have training about 3 years when I joined the Navy. And then what happened, this guy, he was punished. Most of the time he was 10 o'clock in the evening, the list was there, Cadena was on top because he had done something wrong. And he was punished. And he will come, oh, no, that was not my fault. It was this guy. And then the next week again, oh, no, that was not my fault. It was the instructor. And then we graduate. He never learned. You know, I don't know how he graduated. And then after that, I found that he was in trouble. And then he got married, and he will blame his wife. You know, this is happening. It's not my fault. It's her fault. Eventually, he was kicked out of the Navy. And I felt so bad for him because... I remember one day, because he knew that I would help him, he was sleeping outside my father's house. That is where we are going to get when we are disobedient. Not sleeping in our father's house, but on the streets. They described the happiness they used to enjoy. And he was good. Cadena, he was good. He was strong, capable. But I don't know what happened. He will never learn. And there are Christians that we never learn sometimes. As they were in captivity, their oppressors wanted there to hear their God. They wanted to hear something about God. And then that's what verse 3 says in Psalm 137. They says, for there our captors ask us for sons, our tormentors demanded sons of joy. They say, since one of the sons of Zion, they were making fun of God, or perhaps it was a good opportunity for evangelism. Some Bible commentators said that, you know, there was a good opportunity for evangelism. But they said, no, we feel sorry for ourselves. You know, we don't want to sing a song in a foreign land. Why? Because of their disobedience, because their spiritual idolatry, because they were prisoners, they were captives of alien forces. You know what happened is they needed to be right with God. They needed to be in the right place. You remember Jonah? Jonah was in a foreign land. He disobeyed. He disobeyed, but when he was in the right place with God, he was able to do God's will. Repentance is required in order to do his will. And we can sing a song even in a foreign land. Repentance is required. Verse 4 says, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Jonah was able to do it because he was right. But was something missing with the people of Judah? They didn't want to repent. And they have to learn the lesson. They were mourning for Jerusalem. They were so sad. The following verses, verses 5 and 6. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling unto the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. But they cannot enjoy their joy because there was no repentance. They have lost their joy. Finally, the verses 5 to 6, 7 to 9 says, the final verse says, remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day of Jerusalem. Fell, tear it down, they cried, tear it down of to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes against the rocks. These verses, particularly 9, is very difficult. You remember yesterday, Peter Stevenson would say how we omit sometimes this. So what's going on here? We better don't read it. There are many interpretations. It seems to me there is something clear here. It's about judgment. It's about judgment. They said, the Edomite, remember how they were happy when your people were in misery? They were glad to see Jerusalem be destroyed? Do you remember, God? How they clapped their hands when we were taken into captivity. Judah is complaining about the Edomites' behavior towards God's people. Now, why they are doing this? We need to remember that Abraham received a promise in Genesis. It said, in you, all the nations will be blessed. The ones who bless you will be blessed. But the ones who cause trouble you, the ones who trouble, they are going to be having a lot of trouble. And that's what they are claiming. God, You remember, we are going to be blessed if they bless us, but they curse us. You know what they did to us. So therefore, when the psalmist cries out for judgment, he's appealing to God to carry out his covenant with Abraham. So that ultimately, all the people were going to be blessed through Abraham. So if they bless them, they were going to be blessed. But in this case, they have caused so much damage to them. So they saying, please act, God, because these people are making our lives difficult. The psalmist was not seeking personal revenge as we maybe we see it, but rather was asking God to take action. His desire was to see the vindication of God's people. He wanted to see God's judgment. He was crying for justice. Please, God, please act. Now here, when the psalmist says, Babylon to have its infants dash against the rocks, he is asking that the law of retribution be carried out through God's prescribed. Now, the history said that Medo-Persia came bringing judgment upon the Edomite. Medo-Persia will murder these little children. And the picture is so hard to take. Can you imagine? And that was true. Even pregnant women, they will take the children and they will dash their heads. That happened. But how can we interpret this? You know what they were calling? They learned the lesson, suffering. And they came back to God. Now they are praying for God. The prophet is praying for God. The psalmist is praying to God that they will learn the same lesson. Other Bible commentators say, well, here we need to interpret who the rock is. And they see here the rock is Jesus Christ. We go to the book of Luke, that chapter 20, verse 18, that he is the cornerstone of the building. And they read that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, our lives are totally renewed when we come to him in repentance. The psalmist wishes for Babylon to the same thing that happened to Jerusalem. The people repented. The Babylon Empire is no more. They went back, and Psalm 126 says, the joyful songs. But the problem is that we need to come back to the place of fellowship. This evening, before we come to the Lord's table, I invite you to think about this. Have you been taken by alien forces in your life? Are you suffering from maybe you are prisoner of an addiction? You cannot forgive people. Maybe you cannot forget something. Maybe you are blaming somebody else for the mistakes. Maybe there is something wrong in our lives. Come back to fellowship. Come back to fellowship. The people of Israel, they are the chosen people. They were chosen, but they were suffering 70 years. There are many Christians in our churches that we look that we are okay, but we are suffering. We are captives. You know, this evening, I just invite you to come back to fellowship. How badly you want to see God's church established here? How earnestly do you want to be right with God? Are you in a strange spiritual land? Are you struggling? Have you lost your joy because you are captive? What kind of difficult circumstances will it take to cause you to lay those desires aside? As we come to the Lord's table, I invite you to renew your fellowship with God and enjoy the joy that only He can provide. The security of that place. Have you lost your joy? Because sometimes we could put a face that we are okay, but we are not. And as we come to the Lord's table, we don't believe that it's the blood and the body of Christ, but it's the Spirit of God here to minister us. Come back to the place of fellowship. Come back. As we come to the Lord's table, I invite you to to think about things that are in your mind that keep you captive. And maybe you are losing your joy. Shall we read this verse together? Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The Lord wants to bless us today and always, but we need to be right with him. We need to come back seeking his face. He's a loving and merciful God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's difficult sometimes to read some verses of your word, but we know they are there to bring us closer to you. Perhaps we are in a foreign land, in a spiritual land that is not the city of God. Perhaps one person here he knows that she needs to be right with you. Perhaps, yes, this person is your child, but is captive, is a prisoner. Father, like Jonah, help us to repent so we could go to any land, to a foreign land, and preach the good news, and people could come to you. Oh, Father, the story of Jonah is so wonderful that this man, even he didn't want to go, but he was obedient when he repented, and the whole city came to you. Father, I pray for that person. Maybe today is the day that she needs to be right with you. He needs to be right with you. To be free. So, Father, hear our prayers. Receive our worship. And we invite you to feed us as we come to your table. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.